Welcome back. This is Classic Business with me, Michael Avery, and we're talking technology. Now, we've heard so often on the show how new technologies, robotics, mobile, social media, the Internet of Things, AI, big data, all of these things are coming together to transform the global economy. Recently on a panel, I spoke to some of the leading startups in the country that are taking advantage by using this technology to lead in their particular fields. JP Kloppers of Brand's Eye, we had James Tagg of Quickit, and Tian van der Spey of Leaply. But overall, investments in these technologies are leading to an increase in productivity and EBITDA for a majority of companies. However, we still see a lot of factors influencing the return on investment. And a new report entitled Maximizing the Return on Digital Investments, published recently by the World Economic Forum in collaboration with Accenture, looks at this question in great detail, at the impact of investments in digital technologies across 14 different industries. I'm joined now by Hans Zacher, MD at Accenture. Hans, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Michael. Good to be here and great to be on the show.
And Bruce Weinhelt, Head of Digital Transformation at the World Economic Forum. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Michael. Great to be here.
Bruce, understanding new technologies and how to implement them is key for business success in today's world. I think that goes without saying. But if you look at some of the SME studies here in South Africa, so many smaller businesses aren't adopting and adapting to these new technologies, be it out of fear of getting it wrong or implementing the wrong technology at the wrong time. But before we talk about that, firstly, what informed this first-of-its-kind global study? How big was it?
So in collaboration with Accenture, as you just mentioned, the World Economic Forum launched this study. In fact, we actually started the Digital Transformation Initiative 3 years ago, which became one of the more significant studies of its kind, analyzing the impact of digital both on business and on society. And at the World Economic Forum, we did this in two ways. Number one, we analyzed 14 sectors. So we looked at how digital impacting individual sectors. But then we also had the luxury of taking a step back and analyzing the common digital patterns, trends, and themes across these sectors. And one of the things that we mentioned that we noticed again and again was that executives across sectors, the number one question they had to us is, how does digital innovation impact a company's growth and productivity? Ultimately, what is the business case for digital? And that's why we launched this initiative. We analyzed data of over 16,000 companies, which was global representation across over a dozen sectors, analyzing with a two-year time frame the data of technologies such as artificial intelligence, big data analytics, robotics, Internet of Things, social and mobile media, the technologies that you, Michael, just mentioned. And overall, actually, the study pointed towards the fact that investment in digital technologies on new innovation is actually positive. That was a result that I think is quite significant. So basically, executives need to realize that yes, they can invest in digital technologies and there is a positive business case. There are obviously a number of conditions behind that of what makes it positive and what makes it negative that we also call out in the report. But yeah, that was really the origin of the study.
A truly massive study, if you look at it from whichever angle. I mean, the fact that you've got over 16,000 businesses, it's a longitudinal study, so you're really measuring the impact over a period of time, over a period of 2 years. That gives the study a lot of depth. Hans, we're going to come to some of the key conditions that need to be in place in order for these new technologies to thrive and to be successful and for businesses to see those returns on investments. But before we get there, when we look at which technologies are being adopted, which are we actually seeing adopted more than others? Because we've got things like Google's new Duplex addition to its AI. I mean, one gets the sense that we're standing on the brink of an AI revolution, but that still seems a little way away. What are the companies adopting now, or have they been adopting over the last few years?
Sure. Thanks, Michael. I think that's a great question. But, you know, what the research has shown is that while there's, you know, a fair amount of adoption of the technologies across the board and companies are investing a fair amount, it really talks to when are they actually getting value from those investments. So what the research clearly shows is that in each of the industries, typically the top 20% are the ones that are contributing productivity and revenue growth to the bottom line, well, the remaining 80% are not seeing the same kind of successes. So when you talk about the enabling criteria, there's certain conditions which seem to become apparent where companies are starting to get the value out of it. And I think the sort of the overarching kind of concept is that companies who adopt a use case approach or an outcomes-based approach over the adoption of individual technologies are the ones that are typically seeing those kind of gains. And they do that within the context of a cultural and an organizational environment that is conducive to getting those kind of benefits. So the report calls out a couple of key factors which seem to correlate to where those companies are succeeding. And it really sort of starts with a leadership who understands where they're going from a digital perspective, who have the right mindset, the right vision, and are they translating that vision into enablers within the environment, all geared towards achieving those kind of outcomes. So what these companies are doing quite well is they start with the use case mindset. They make sure all the enablers are in place, and then they gear the right technologies to the right kind of business problems, and those are the things that are driving out the outcome. The other factor to mention is that while there's investments across these technologies, you usually find that the combinatorial effect of using multiple technologies in different use cases, where you're essentially using the right tech for the right job, is also contributing to successful growth. Mm. So there's a lot of those factors, but it turns out that it's actually a holistic view of the technologies, a use case mindset, which is really resulting in the uplift.
And that requires, as you mentioned in the report, the right kind of leadership, the digital savvy and agile leadership that makes us all come together from a cultural perspective inside the organization. But Bruce, I want to go back to that digital divide that we're seeing here, because as the report points out, 20% of the adopters are really seeing a massive boost in productivity and efficiency gains and a considerable return here, while the other 80% not seeing the requisite return, obviously because of some of those factors not being in place. So it looks like the laggards are at risk here of being left behind. And I find this quite interesting for the South African context, because generally these are smaller businesses, so not good news for SMEs.
I'm not so sure that I would paint it really that black and white a picture. There's certainly risks involved for companies of all sizes and across all sectors. I think there's a couple of things to consider here. One of really is that this report for the first time points out that investment in digital technologies is actually positive. So I think that provides a certain confidence to executives that they can invest and that there is a business case. And it is okay to try and to test and to fail and to retry and try again. We've also pointed out, as you mentioned, Michael, a couple of conditions. If you as an executive want to strip away all the noise of everything that you hear around digital transformation and just want to focus on five items that you really, really need to surround and implementing within your organization, these are also then included in this report, because in hundreds of interviews that we've had in person and over the phone over the last couple of years, these were again and again the top five reasons or the top five success factors for executives. So that's from me from an application perspective. From a technology perspective, I would say there's also a little bit of a nuanced play here. For instance, we found out that these leaders, which are, as Hans mentioned, the 20 largest growth companies, or the 20 companies with the largest growth percentage over the last decade in their respective industries, they actually managed to get a high return on investment from technologies such as robotics and mobile or social media. Whereas, surprisingly, initially we thought, we found out that they are actually lagging behind the laggards, as you call them, the other 80% within the industry, when it comes to slightly more complex or less mature technologies such as IoT or cognitive, and cognitive being AI and big data analytics. So it really depends on which technology you choose and at what state of maturity it is. It's a lot more complex and difficult to establish an IoT ecosystem and do that correctly. they're the laggards of actually, by sitting back and waiting a little bit, they don't necessarily fall into the pitfalls that the early adopters have. So there really is an overall, a bit of a nuanced play here.
There really is. Sometimes it doesn't always pay to be an early adopter based on what you've said. You're able to, if you're a fast follower, really benefit from some of the lessons learned by those early adopters. And I think specifically here of cognitive in the field of AI and communications, I know of several bodies littered on the shores of those first ventures that have been made by, be it banks or other large institutions, who've tried to embed some kind of AI into the way they communicate with customers without refining the nuance of speech. It does look like Google is doing a fantastic job. I referenced its Duplex edition to its AI suite the other day, and if you just see some of the videos doing the rounds over the last few weeks, it looks like it's starting to crack that particular nut. But I want to come back, Bruce, to those five key drivers, really, for maximizing value from digital investments. Because if someone's listening out there and they want to understand how to get this right, let's start with the first key ingredient here that you've identified that has been a common thread amongst those who've been successful, and that is agile and digital savvy leadership. And it might seem fairly obvious, but how does one go about ensuring that one has digital savvy leadership in some of the key decision-making areas inside a company? Often you may have a very capable CIO, but a CEO who's perhaps not as digital savvy, maybe a typical CA MBA type that doesn't have a deep or cross-cutting specialization in technology. How do you bridge the gap?
That's a very good question, Michael, and was actually the number one topic and the number one reason why companies might have not been so successful in implementing new technologies, as we found out over the last few years in our research. It is really, really imperative that the digital agenda within an organization is led from the very top, that the CEO and the board understand digital, at least have some kind of understanding of it, and also that they can drive the agenda through the entire organization. My parallel to that would be, it was probably about as close as 8 to 10 years ago that that ever was not a discussion topic at the board. It was usually a case of, oh, I've got a CEO or a CIO who takes care of that. And we did research at the World Economic Forum why that was, and that was because about 80% of companies and CEOs felt they weren't ready to discuss this. But then Saudi Aramco and a couple of other very large companies got hacked, and all of a sudden this was very rapidly elevated to the board level. It was not sufficient that the CIO or CTO took care of it. It is very, very it's very, very similar with digital and digital transformation. It is not necessarily enough to hire a chief digital officer or to ask your chief technology or innovation officer to take care of the digital agenda. It clearly has to be led from the top. It has to be understood at the top. But then also it has to be driven through all levels of organization. One of my favorite quotes of the work that we've done over the last few years was from a CEO from a large global healthcare provider. He himself lives and breathes digital and understands it. But in Davos, he mentioned the quote of, a leader with followers is just a guy going for a walk. meaning that even though he understood the digital agenda and really drove it, he didn't take enough time to make sure that everyone across all layers in his organization, everyone was in the bandwagon as well. So it's not only an understanding at the top of what digital is, but it's an entire cultural shift within the organization that is also required.
I love that quote, and it really speaks to what digital is becoming in the modern economy. It's central to the business. It's not part of or apart from the business, and very often it's been viewed maybe as a division that sits inside the organization, but it really encompasses almost every element or aspect of an organization, and hence the need for these skills. Hence, the second item or key ingredient for success is possessing a forward-looking skills agenda. What do you mean by this?
So I think there's two elements to this. So the one is, you know, the cultural shift where you're taking your existing employees, you're changing the mindset led from the top, where people are adopting a more agile mindset, a sort of fail fast, you know, get to the right answers kind of mindset, but also recognizing that there's certain skill sets, and I think this is particularly relevant in the South African context, that don't necessarily exist within your organization. So a lot of these technologies are, you know, particularly new. There's quite a lot of different sort of flavors of these technologies, a lot of sort of open source, you know, where people could have, you know, in the past considered this a bit of snake oil and, you know, cool vendors, but not really something that they want to invest in. But if you start looking at a, you know, sort of a forward-looking skills agenda, you start recognizing that you'll have to tap into different pools of resources, both within your organization, but particularly outside in the form of partnerships, in the form of the sort of liquid workforce, where you're really assembling those skills into kind of a cultural environment where they're set up to succeed.
And that's actually part of the third element that you identify, yeah, this ecosystem thinking. One hears the word, it's almost just become a buzzword of collaboration, of ecosystems, of bringing dependent customers and partners and people in the supply chain and all these stakeholders around the table. You hear the word said, though, but here in South Africa, it still seems that we perhaps stuck in our old logs of everyone's a competitor, and so collaboration is a no-no. How does one drive this through an organization?
Yeah, and probably I would add, in terms of the sort of local mindset, is sometimes we do have a DIY mindset as well, right? But when you start, you know, the shift from a me to a we, you know, type mind frame is really what we're talking about here, is that within these digital solutions and the way you can kind of string them together from both a capability and a technology perspective, you know, really lends itself to looking at the overall ecosystem where you can collaborate with startups or more established organizations, potentially even competitors, to bring something, you know, that you don't have within your organization from the outside in to meet a particular need of your sort of digital story. So it means that you have to have a much more open mindset, as you mentioned, which is not always the sort of go-to place.
Maybe I'm being slightly unfair, but that does seem to be a bit of a default position in South Africa. Bruce, clearly data plays an increasingly integral role in linking all of this together. And obviously, data analysis has moved from being that buzzword that perhaps collaboration was to something that's important, that's recognized as being important. But still, I think for a lot of smaller and mid-sized firms, it does seem one step away. How does one shift firms into the cloud, into software as a service, to enable the infrastructure and the architecture inside the firm to be able to take advantage of all the data that it generates?
Yeah, a very good question. I think it's a mindset shift. I think our companies, SMEs, very often feel that they don't have the resources or the skills to really participate in this new digital reality. They don't necessarily know where to start in order to shift the data on the cloud, to collect the right data, to drive business models which are data-based and research-based. And here it really is very much a case of there is a need to understand that business models are very much changing. Digital is having an impact on consumption patterns, both in the B2B as well as the B2C world. So the digital transformation, digital technologies are changing the way that people and companies consume products. For instance, it's not enough anymore to just offer a product or a service. You have to offer an experience. In order to offer that experience, you, number one, very often need to actually start collaborating with outside third parties that you previously didn't have to. Hans just, and you talked about ecosystem thinking. So you have to think through, okay, who can help us provide this experience that is tailored to the end consumer, and what are the building blocks that we actually need to create this? And for that, really, a strong data infrastructure and warehouse capabilities, which you then combine with the right analytics and communication tools, they really drive that competitiveness. They drive that competitive insight. Products and services nowadays are relatively inexpensive. This is cloud services, etc. So I think there's a notion or a misunderstanding of how difficult it is to engage in this digital, in this new digital context, in this new digital reality. It's actually easier to become a player in it than it was before. I would only encourage SMEs to explore this. It is a bit of a fear factor, I think, but you really have to overcome it.
Bruce Weinhold, Head of Digital Transformation at the World Economic Forum, and Hans Zacher, MD of Accenture, sharing the findings from a new report entitled Maximizing the Return on Digital Investments. It was recently published by the World Economic Forum in collaboration with Accenture, and looks at the impact of investments in digital technologies across 14 different industries. Fascinating study that. Let's cross now to Arabile Gumede, the co-host of Classic Business Breakfast with MoneyWeb. Arabile, what's in store for tomorrow?
Thanks, Michael. Well, we didn't get to chat to Lindiwe Zulu, the Small Business Development Minister, this morning. So hopefully tomorrow morning we can get a hold of her. Of course, it's a very important department, and it seems small businesses are set to receive more support from government. So will that department get a little more money? There's also been a delay in the interview we were supposed to do with NERSA. Tomorrow is finally the day we get Chris Forley on the line, the CEO of NERSA. So many regulations in place, so many thoughts and so many things we can probably chat to him about, and we'll get that going. The IT sector will also create over 100,000 jobs in the next 5 years, and that's according to a new report by Microsoft. Zuaba Hussein, the managing director of Microsoft South Africa, will also be chatting to us on the show. So it's going to be a jam-packed one, quite interesting as well. And perhaps the land summit by the ANC will bring out some stuff as well. We'll hopefully get to talk to Advocate Tembeka Tungujabui. All that and more coming up on Classic Business Breakfast with myself, Anastasia Arnza.
Well, that's all for tonight, folks. Thank you for listening to Classic Business with me, your host, Michael Avery. Carolyn Stain eases into the chair for Classic Cocktail Hour, which quite a few people have been telling me they're rather enjoying. So great job, Carolyn. No pressure. That's up next on Classic 102.7.